You talk about Native American stories of what, even battling with giants.
Yes, they call them the stone giants. The Iroquois called them the stone giants, which implies that they had armor of some sort. Now, of course, you have to think that when people are really isolated, different ethnic groups have different sizes. I mean, I actually wrote an article about fighting giants in antiquity, in ancient warfare for MHQ, Journal of Military History. And some peoples, like the Romans, were about 5 feet tall when they fought the Germans. The Germans were 2 feet taller than them. And so they met a whole race of giants then. and I was going to mention, I know that a few years ago there was a tomb discovered in Israel, and I can't remember exactly where it was found, but archaeologists found it, and it had an inscription on the tomb, and the skeleton was oversized, much larger than you would expect for that time period, in that time period. And the inscription was labeled Goliath. I mean, I haven't heard any more about that. I read one scholarly note about that, and I haven't heard any more. I'd love to hear more about it.
Well, I'd love to travel back through time just so I could be the Yao Ming of ancient Rome. Just walk around a full 8 inches taller than the tallest Roman at the time.
Absolutely.
But about the Native American legends of giants, I mean, what do we think of? Do we think that they had mistaken mastodon bones for human femurs? Or, I mean, and could it be that these, as some guests have talked about in the past on Coast to Coast, that some giant people isolated might have survived into a period where early Native Americans might have begun to pass down stories of their encounters?
I don't think that's impossible at all. I think that's possible. I mean, when the Spanish conquistadors went to Patagonia, or when the first Spanish and Europeans went to Patagonia, they did, in fact, find tribes of people who were incredibly tall. I think that in ancient Greece, when they found fossil bones of, say, a mastodon or a giant rhinoceros, because it's all jumbled up because of the earthquakes, all they find are these big bones, like a limb bone, a thigh bone, a shoulder blade. It looks, because it's a mammal, it's an extinct mammal, it's a huge one, much bigger than anything they've ever seen, but it looks just like a human shoulder blade or a human thigh bone. You can understand why they thought that there were giants populated the earth, you know, in the prehistoric period, and that all the ancient heroes at Troy were striding around 3 times taller than people are today. You can understand it, but the Native American stories about giant bones, they'd find the skulls too, and so they would know that they were, whether they were animal or human. So I don't think we can explain it away by saying that they were finding mammoth bones.
Well,
I think it's entirely possible that there were very large people in certain areas, regional.
And it makes you think, okay, the Thunderbird stories, the stories of these giant, you know, sort of man stealing or baby taking birds or other, that couldn't have been out of the question either. That in fact,
no.
You know, that these birds very likely existed, and it wasn't just a matter that they had found the bones of a pterodactyl in a hillside somewhere.
No, you know, the stories of the giant raptors that could swoop down and take animals and small children and even small adults, those are real. Those are real because we know that that paleo Indians overlapped with giant condors from the Pleistocene, from the Ice Age, and giant birds called pterotaurs.
And how big would they have been?
Well, just to give you an idea, an eagle's wingspan is about 8 feet.
Right.
A condor of today is about 9 feet. A giant condor was about 10 feet, but a pterotaur was 12 to 15 feet. Wingspan. Now that is a small airplane.
Right, exactly.
That is a scary bird, and it could in fact pick up things with its claws, not its beak.
Sure.
the paleontologists have seen that it actually swooped down and got things with its claws. So those things overlapped with early Native Americans throughout the United States. They have found the remains of those giant birds in New York, Canada, the Pacific Northwest, the Southwest, Mexico. I mean, that's what accounts for those stories of giant birds.
How long was it before mainstream science accepted that idea that the Native American stories of giant birds weren't just myths?
I don't think everybody has accepted it.
Even still,
you and me and our audience.
Well,
but the thing is, they have found. Scientists are persuaded now that there were giant pterosaur-type birds overlapping with prehistoric people in Africa, because they have found the skull of a young child that has puncture marks in the skull that fit the claws of the giant bird that lived in the same region. So this baby or child was taken by one of these birds, eaten and left in the nest, and now they have found that. So scientists are going to come around to this.
Well,
acceptance.
And I could look through the book real quickly, but I'm sure you remember. Where is it? In Arizona, where there's the giant bird with the man in its beak?
Yes, that's in Petrified Forest. Anyone can go see that. I give the place under the caption in the picture in my book. I went to see it, and the forest.
It's a petroglyph of a giant.
It's a petroglyph. It's rock art, and you can stand a few feet away from it and see it. It's a large bird with a little man in its
beak. And you could, you know, somebody might dismiss that as some sort of god legend or something, or you could say it was the photograph from the front page of their newspaper. Giant bird, you know,
exactly.
steals grog, you know, this just in, grog taken by giant bird, and they chip it into the rock so they can all remember poor old grog and what happened with the giant bird.
Exactly. And what was interesting to me was that there was a forest ranger there at Petrified Forest who had talked to a Hopi elder who had come to see the petroglyph, and then he saw that and was reminded of a Hopi story of that very same kind of event.
This was something which almost was like passed down like a like a warning, like don't let this happen to you kind of story.
I think these stories were they're about a real danger. Yeah, there's a Yaqui story in Mexico.
What's the story?
The story is there were these seven villages, and they were harassed every evening. A giant bird would come down from the mountain, swoop down on one of the villages, and take either a young woman or a child, small prey, and swoop down, take it away every evening, and take it back to its mountain. And finally, a young boy, grew up in one of the villages and vowed that he would get that monster. He set off on an expedition after talking to the elders. They told him where to go. He went up into the mountains and found an area where there were all kinds of bones, which he thought were the bones of the victims that this giant bird had taken up to his nest. And
right.
He hid in a pit until he saw the giant bird, jumped out, shot an arrow, killed the giant bird, went back to the village, took all the elders and the warriors came with him to the mountain to see the bones of this creature, the body, the carcass of the giant bird that he killed. And what's interesting to me is that in the Southwest, in an Apache and Navajo myth, it's the same kind of story of this giant bird that just preys on humans. And you know, we were the prey of these large animals.